Welcome to the St. Michael Weekly Meditations. My name is Tim Smith, and I will be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Easter is blessing. Once you've been transformed by God's love, you can't help but want to share that love with others. This Easter, let's learn how to bless one another by sharing the grace and love of Christ with our friends and neighbors. Joining Christians everywhere during this Easter season, we proclaim with joy, Hallelujah! The Lord is risen indeed. Come and let us adore Him. Hallelujah! A reading from Exodus 32, verses 1 to 20. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off gold earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and they sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go down, because your people, whom you have brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses. They are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. And then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, Why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, It is with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land that I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, This is the sound of war in the camp. Moses replied, It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing I hear. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Here ends the reading. Following the dramatic exit from Egypt, our expectation is that God would speed Israel on toward the promised land of Canaan. That was the land from which they had come many generations earlier, the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. But rather than leading them on the direct route to Canaan, God first instructed Moses to take the people in the opposite direction of the promised land to Mount Horeb. Why? Years earlier, it was here that God had appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush and revealed himself to Moses by name, I Am. Here in the rugged southern Sinai region, The Lord once again appeared to Moses on this mountain, the place the Bible describes as the mountain of God. It was here that Moses once again met with God, and it prepared him for the journey that laid ahead and all of its ensuing challenges and difficulties. Moses stayed on this mountain for 40 days, which really refers more to a long time than an exact number. He prolonged his absence, which sparked fear in the people as they believed that they had been abandoned. Two Hebrew verbs are active in Exodus here, Allah, which speaks of a move from one place to another. But this place for the Hebrews was considered even worse, a forbidding wilderness than what they knew back as slaves in Egypt. They demanded Aaron make an idol in the shape of a calf to whom they could attribute their deliverance, give worship to, and put their trust in to lead them. Long forgotten are the miracles of God, the plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, the provision of manna, quail, and water in the wilderness. You see, this is the power of fear. The second Hebrew verb active in Exodus is yatzah, and refers to a movement out of. For Israel, that means from a position of bondage to one of freedom. Yatzah refers to the very nature of Israel's salvation. Yet when describing the Exodus, the Hebrew people never refer to their liberation. They only focus on how they were brought out of Egypt to another place, a foreboding place. Never do they mention slavery. Never do they mention their freedom. As a result, they completely lose sight of the fact that God has brought them out of bondage to slavery. In their fear, the people have not only mistaken who has saved them, but they have misunderstood the very nature of their salvation and the purpose of their salvation to be a light unto the nations. This is what fear does. It corrodes our confidence in God's goodness, unleashing a swarm of doubt that actually limits what God can do in our lives. Fear turns us into control freaks. This is why they turned to Aaron to make a golden calf for them. Fear creates spiritual amnesia, causing us to forget all the great things God has done for us. And fear paralyzes us, causing safety to become our God. In the midst of their fear, God almost becomes an afterthought for the Hebrew people. Fear can also cause us to miss out on the call of God and the great adventure of God, leaving us almost spiritually dead and hardly making a move forward. Despite all God had done for the Israelites, they failed to have faith and show faith when it mattered most. Fear is a bully that pushes faith away. But fear is overcome when someone is walking with you, holding you, protecting you. This is the lesson of Moses meeting with God on Mount Horeb, preparing him for the rebellion of the Hebrews worshiping an idol. James Doyle tells of when he was 5 years old and would pretend to fall asleep during the evening worship service. "If I did," he said, "I knew my dad would carry me home. I would do this because we walked to and from church. It was about a mile each way. Being little wasn't my problem. The length wasn't my problem either. I enjoyed the walk with my family. However, my older brothers teased me by telling me that in one of the fields we'd walk through, there was a boogeyman and he was going to get me. Now that frightened me," he said. One night he really did fall asleep. Dad picked him up, and though he woke up right away, he continued to pretend to be asleep as his father carried him. That night, we went through that frightening field, and I was not one bit afraid. I felt the warmth, the strength, and the protection of my dad's arms. To this day, some 50 years later, I can still feel his arms and hear his breathing as I remember his ultimate protection. So it wasn't long until I would constantly pretend to fall asleep on the pew, knowing I could go through that frightening experience safe in my dad's arms. And then he writes, "But one thing I know for sure, I am always safe in Abba's arms. Even the frightening experience of death's field is no match for our Father's secure and strong arms." No matter what fear may be gripping you right now, know this: You are not alone. God is right there beside you, carrying you. All you need to do is to lean into His safe, secure, and loving arms, and He will carry you through. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose Son is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen.